Good morning and welcome back to the Roundtable. New York Oncology Hematology is hosting the Spring to Life Conference on Hematologic Malignancies on Saturday, April 16th at the Hilton Albany Hotel. It is a one-day conference that includes a morning and afternoon session for physicians, nurses, and healthcare providers. The morning session will focus on advancements in treatments, while the afternoon conference is open to the public and focuses on living with cancer and blood disorders. Patients, survivors, family, and caregivers are encouraged to attend because session topics will include managing a progressive illness, talking with a family member about an advancing disease, as well as a Q&A session with audience participation. Dr. Ira Zakon is the director of the NYOH Stem Cell Transplant Program and is conference chair, and we welcome him to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure.
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Also joining us, Barbara Kantev, who is a multiple myeloma survivor and patient of Dr. Zakon's at New York Oncology Hematology and Stem Cell Transplant recipient through NYOH. And Barbara, it's a delight to have you on
our
program.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you. All right, so let us begin with you, Dr. Zakon, about why a conference like this is, because you really get to two birds with one stone in the sense of talk shop and then open it up to the general public.
Exactly. So I think the idea for it came out of conversations. You know, when I meet people and they'll say, well, what do you do? And I say, well, I'm a cancer specialist. One that first stops the conversation. But then the most frequent question...
We don't know how to process that.
Yeah. So, but then the most frequent question is, well, why did you go into the field? And I've always said that it's because it's this amazing combination of amazing science, leading-edge therapy, always fascinating, and yet it takes place in people's lives, in the drama of their lives. And and we have the privilege, you know, as those who are providing care, of being part of those journeys. And so we wanted to have a conference that is not just the traditional for physicians and nurses and those that are involved in the provision of care, which we do. That's our morning. We focus on the science and the medicine and the advances in therapies and update our region. But importantly, created this afternoon session, which is just really all about living with cancer. And we try and use our morning, the blood cancers that we focus on, kind of as a platform for a discussion. So multiple myeloma is a very chronic form of blood cancer. People live with this over many years. That presents its own unique challenges, so it allows us to open up that conversation, and it's been a wonderful session.
I want to get to Barbara's story in a moment, but when we talk about that science that you'll be discussing in the morning, is there good news there?
Absolutely. In terms of cancers in general, and certainly the blood cancers in which I specialize, we are in a time of really amazing new therapy advances. Even for multiple myeloma, as an example, we've had three new medicines approved just late last year, but it's really been transformed with therapy. And I think for those that may be aware of these really powerful new immune therapies, we are in a new age of using our own immune system, harnessing that to treat and control cancers in ways that we dreamed about when I was a medical student. We conceived of it, but we're beginning to actually live in that era.
Barbara, how did you give us a sense of how you found out that you had this and the road you've been down?
Oh gosh, it started with the pain in my chest, my left side, on January of 2013, and I used to say it felt like a bag of orange in the middle of my chest. Mm-hmm. The primary doctor that I had, he brushed it off. And he continued to brush me off. I went to the two chiropractors. I kept going back to my primary care. He kept pushing it off, indicating that, well, we can't do an MRI because the healthcare wouldn't pay for it at this point. He sent me to a pulmonary specialist. It wasn't until I went to a bone and spine specialist, thank God for them. You know, he sent me for a CAT scan. This was late November, and that's when we found out that I had at least the tumors that were around my heart and lung and in my spine. So it took about, 12 months for me to be diagnosed with it.
Okay. So that's the most terrifying thing I think anyone could ever hear, because especially for those of us that, you know, you have something and you want to find out what it is, and it's often the question marks still remain of, oh, okay, what the, and then we hear a story like yours and say, well, see, it could be something. We don't know, right?
Right.
So then from that point, mm-hmm. once you have the diagnosis, then what happens?
Well, then once I had the diagnosis, NYOH took over, I think, because then I did my biopsy in a week before Thanksgiving 2013, and 2 weeks, I think 2 or 3 weeks afterwards, I did two weeks of radiation, and then once we did the radiation, then I started chemotherapy and with steroids as well. So it lasted up until I had the stem cell transplant, which was December 2014. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
You can see how much dates are a part of your narrative, Barbara, aware you are of how this impacted your life.
Because I went through pain for a long period of time. I mean, over a year I was in pain.
I wanted to talk about that. So with that feeling in your side, and which is on your heart.
Right.
So how does that feel? Because does that impact you? I mean, does it feel the same way the entire time? Does it come and go?
Yeah, so I was unable to move at one point. So I trusted my primary doctor. He knew what he was doing. So I went to chiropractors to try to help me ease, because it was a pain in my back. So I couldn't really move. There was no longer exercise. At one point, the tumor in my spine was pushing against a nerve, so I almost lost the ability to walk at 43 years old. Had I not been diagnosed by bone and spine, mm-hmm.
And when you learn about this, when you found out in November and you got the diagnosis, at what point? How did they start talking about treatment and what the possibilities were?
I think NYH was so great. I first met with my radiation doctor. He did. I mean, they sit and they explain it to you. The nurses was just amazing. I mean, they help you along.
Right.
They gave me my diagnosis, and at first you're in shock, really. I mean, thank God for my husband. So, you know, he was in shock as well, but it's better if you have someone else with you. That way, you know, the information is
better
filtered.
To share the shock.
Yeah, share the shock, you know. Yeah. But it's hard to hear things when you're in your head at this point, you know.
I think that's really – I benefit from, of course, seeing a lot of patients and people. We always encourage to bring someone along with you, your spouse, a friend, a family member, mm-hmm. because you hear different things, and the person who has the new diagnosis, it's hard to process everything because you're still in shock, exactly as you said. I think one of the most important things that we do is we understand how life has just been turned upside down. And just calming the situation, trying to put your feet back on the ground while we educate you enough to, and that gives you a little control back.
So part of that education and getting that control back is to know what we're dealing with in the sense of how curable is this. So, and at the risk of asking something that's inappropriate, I mean, do we get into percentages at this point of saying when you see something like this of the seriousness?
Yes. I mean, we have those discussions. I think that how you communicate that, you have to get a sense of the patient who you're also meeting. I'm talking now from our perspective.
Sure.
You're meeting for the first time and trying to get a sense of them and how best to talk about things. But we do have to have those kind of conversations. So, for example, multiple myeloma, we talk about it as a chronic disease. It's something that someone will live with over many years, and yet with current therapies, we don't cure it, which has a whole other implication, especially for someone who's young in the prime of their life. Even though, okay, no immediate threat, although I feel very sick right now.
Yeah.
And yet we talk about how it's treated and how that has changed over time, and truly how much that's been transformed from what myeloma used to be 20 years ago. I'm just using myeloma as an example because that's Barbara's
right.
particular experience. So there's real information that you have to give, not always easy, but there also is some of the uplifting, hopeful parts of, where we're at with a particular disease and how we treat it.
So in your case, Barbara, are you still receiving treatment?
Yes. So I had my stem cell. My year was in December, a year from the stem cell transplant, and for 2 years now, I will be on a maintenance, which is a oral pill that I'm given, as well as a bone strengthener, mm-hmm. which is IV.
What is the state of our stem cell transplant program, not only in New York, but in general?
So here we're talking about what are called bone marrow stem cells. Okay, so our bone marrow inside our bones makes our blood and immune system. And so stem cells are just very young cells. So, we hear a lot about embryo stem cells. Those
right.
are just the youngest cells that become a human being. We're talking about the youngest cells that can make all of the bone marrow. And we use that in two different ways. For a condition like Barbara's, we were able to collect her own bone marrow stem cells by getting them. We can make them circulate in the blood. So we just collect it like a blood donor giving blood cells. And then we freeze those away. And then she had to go through a phase of her therapy, which was more intensive, using a particular chemotherapy treatment that we're able to give at a high dose. But we can do that safely because the main problem is it would knock down the normal bone marrow. So we kind of rescue that by giving her back, after the therapy, her own bone marrow stem cells. And instead of prolonged failing blood system and low blood counts and low immune system, within about a week, the blood cells are returning and coming back up. And that's what allows us to do this safely. But for the audience, there's another form of stem cell transplant that comes from somebody else, a donor.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we used to call bone marrow transplant.
Right.
It's a bone marrow stem cell transplant. And there are reasons for certain blood cancers in particular that's the best path to cure, but it's a very different type of stem cell therapy.
How long before you felt better?
I'm still trying to feel better.
Really? Do you still have pain?
Yes. I think some of it is residual in that area because the tumors were there for such a long period of time. Every now and then, I think I don't trust my body anymore.
Right.
It's like I feel this pain. I'm like, I get those moments, but I'm like, relax. But I do have bone pain. It's chronic. But sometimes I have to remember I just came off the stem cell transplant. So that occurred in December. And I went back to work in February, and I've been moving towards February of 2015.
Right.
So I've been moving towards getting to that 100% place.
And you are confident, doctor, that she can reach that 100% place?
Yes, I think most people, return to a normal sense of reasonable energy, but sometimes there's things that you live with, right? Things aren't quite the same as they used to be, whether it's I don't have quite the stamina I do for doing normal things, even though I'm doing normal things. Sometimes
right.
I just poop out or I gotta push myself.
Right.
Or you have twinges of pain or things that come back. And
yes.
what you said was very common. You get that moment, a startle moment is
yeah.
very common in
sure.
patients who they may be in remission for years and years and know things are okay, and yet you start to worry as soon as you have a new pain or a new symptom. Is it the disease coming back?
And it is. So Do you consider yourself then a cancer survivor, or are you always living with that threat?
I'm always living with that threat because it's not curable. And because I'm young, with multiple myeloma, it's also more aggressive in my age, from what my other mm-hmm. oncologists have told mm-hmm. me. So I'm not a survivor yet, I don't think.
Yeah.
So I think of that in two different ways.
Okay.
I guess strictly speaking, a survivor is cured of their cancer. And they face other issues, you know, of getting back into life and sometimes, like I say, things that have affected how they feel. But I broadly think of our patients as survivors because just going through the experience of cancer, whether it's curable or not, there's mm-hmm. you survive and you have to cope and you have to deal with things. And when there's good parts of that and how people find that I'm stronger than I ever thought I was, or I'm closer as a family or in my marriage, you learn a lot of things through that. So I think that, and we like all the people to come and try and attend this conference for the afternoon because it's really sharing in those experiences, whether you're a patient, whether you're a family, mm-hmm. whether you're just in the community, and there's something valuable to share in this kind of conversation, which is really kind of like we would like to have, you know, when we do our afternoon session.
How do we define a progressive illness? I mean, is that basically what we've been talking about with Barbara?
So, you know, a cancer that is chronic, and I think one of the things that we have achieved more often is taking a cancer that may not be curable, although thankfully more and more are curable, but turning it into a chronic disease, turning it into something that someone's going to live with over years. And that has courses, it changes over time. So you go through treatment and then you get into remission and things are stable. But then the disease, if it's not going to be cured, is going to act up again. It's going to, and that's progression. And then you have to go through kind of that experience and back on probably another treatment. And then hopefully it gets back under control. You go through another remission phase, and then it happens again. So I think going through the ups and downs over time is part of the experience. And I think living with some of that uncertainty over time is a real challenge.
Did Barbara, it was a year that she went before she was diagnosed. Did she lose anything in that? I mean, obviously went through the pain and went through the not knowing what it was. Did it affect in any way the way that you and the team went about treating her?
Right. So in this particular disease, no. I think that although sometimes it becomes more complicated, right?
I mean, well, one of the things is we had to rush to do the radiation to get the mass off my spine, because if we had not, then, like I said,
correct.
I wouldn't have been able to walk.
Correct. So
yeah.
That could have been complications from not cluing into the diagnosis in a timely way that could have left you
paralyzed
or something very serious. But once we diagnose it, the ability to treat it effectively isn't compromised generally by whatever time it was that the disease was there before we treated it.
Two quick questions. One, in a myeloma, can it occur anywhere in the body? And does it necessarily have to become a tumor, a mass?
Yeah. So the blood cancers are a little different than how we think about other cancers. So, you know, breast cancer or lung cancer, it begins in an organ.
Yep.
Okay. And then it starts to grow larger as a tumor. Which just means an abnormal growth of cells. And then it starts to spread, and that's when it becomes more advanced stage. And if it spreads to many places, now we're mostly talking about incurable cancers. And so it's so important to pick them up early in screening, for example, in breast cancer. With blood cancers, they originate in the bone marrow or in the immune system cells. They tend not to be localized like that. They kind of live in different places. So myeloma, as an example, begins in the bone marrow, but it can affect the bones where it causes erosions in the bones, and that may cause pain or fractures if it's weakened. But individual spots of myeloma can grow like a tumor and maybe impinge on a nerve or and cause problems. But it can also, it's a blood system, so it's common to be tired and have anemia. It also can have effects on the kidney, and some of our patients present with kidney failure. So there's a lot of different ways that it can affect someone's health.
And when it comes to the conference, as we said, and for the afternoon, this Living with Cancer, it is for survivors, for family members, and I assume a lot of your patients and people who are from outside.
It's open to the broad community, and we hope that this is our third annual conference, so we're building, I think, a reputation and momentum for a word of mouth, you know, people hearing about it. But I think there's something to be gained whether you have had cancer or it's your family member or you just... Well, most families have been touched by cancer. When it's unusual not to have someone in the family who's been touched by cancer. But the focus, we've had generally social workers who have experience with cancer. This year we have Ed Dick, who does a lot of support group and individual support with a broad experience with cancer. Part of our conference has also wanted to include the pediatric experience, and we've partnered with the Melody Center for Pediatric Cancers and Blood Disorders, and so one of their social workers is going to be, at least this year, participating. And the pediatric experience, of course, is totally different. I mean, children, and well, when you're an adolescent, it's quite a challenge, but children experience cancer. They usually play and remain happy through therapy. But you can imagine what it's like for a parent. There's nothing more devastating and stressful than facing the illness of your child and the uncertainty of the outcome.
What, as far as genetic factors, does that play into it, or that plays in with any cancer?
It depends on the cancer. There's certainly genetic influences.
I don't want to specifically get into Barbara's condition, but as far as it, when you look at that, you look at the history. That is a part of what you weigh.
Yes, I mean, when we look at someone's cancer, there are genetic predispositions that some people may be born with certain genetic makeup or specific mutations, which are changes in the DNA of our genes that may put them at higher risk for certain cancers. And then there's, you know, in our environment, in our world, we get exposed to things, whether it's through our food chain or whether we are choosing smoking and other things. There's some things we can control and some things we can't control that we understand to be contributors to certain cancers. But, for example, even lung cancer, the fact is that for all the smokers, the majority don't get lung cancer, and yet it's the most common cause of lung cancer. So we know that there's probably some genetic influences of whatever is in tobacco that causes cancer. Some people are more predisposed to develop that cancer than others.
This is the Spring to Life conference that takes place Saturday, April 16th at the Hilton Albany Hotel on Lodge Street in Albany. You can register. In fact, you're encouraged to register. And it's springtolifeheme.org. springtolifeheme.org to find out more information and to register for the conference, which again will be on Saturday, April 16th at the Hilton Albany Hotel. And we'll have a link on our website as well, wamc.org/roundtable. Barbara, thank you very much for being with us, for sharing your story. You look great.
Thank you.
So I hope you feel as great as you look.
Well, you know, I've taken control of my life in a sense. You know, I've gone through to the Stram Center. Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're just about out of time. But But you look great.
Okay, thank you.
And I'm glad. And great work. Doctor, thank you very much.
Thank you
We appreciate it. And again, you can find out more information by going to the website.